Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and we're starting a series on prayer. And today, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 6 and some of Jesus' key teachings on the topic of prayer. Now, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and your great truth. And we pray that these words today will be a blessing to many, that they will open hearts and open minds. And as your word goes out, and as your truth is proclaimed, that Jesus Christ will be glorified. And we pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. So, here we are. We're looking into the Bible in Matthew chapter 6, in that section on the Sermon on the Mount. This is early on in Jesus' ministry. It's probably somewhere in the first year of his ministry. He's come back from the Jordan. He's done many miracles around, and he's become popular all the way up to Syria and through Judea and Samaria. People are coming out to him for lots and lots of miracles. And so as these miracles are happening, they gather together, and he has this huge crowd up on a mountain. And he wants to make a separation between his teaching and the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. He wants to be distinctive about what he's saying. And that's why the Sermon on the Mount is one of the most Christian, the most characteristic teachings of Christianity compared to all other religions. Chapter 5, he goes through the Beatitudes, blessed is this and blessed is that. And he starts talking about internal religion, how Christianity is a religion of the heart, not just an outward religion of form and regulations and laws and things that apply on the outer man. Jesus emphasizes the inner man over the outer man, though we still have to obey commandments. So it's all about our inward life, our inward attitudes, and our relationship with God, not our relationship with society or the world or the demonic realm of demons and witchcraft and that kind of thing. Instead, Christianity is about the quality of our soul. And we find that this comes into prayer. Prayer for Jesus is very different from prayer for many other religions of that time. And so Jesus sets up his distinctive view of prayer, and we're going to look at that today. We're going to see how it's different from pagan prayer and how it's different from the prayers of the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the Jewish culture of that time. So here we are. What is Christian prayer? How does it work? What's the difference in the way we pray as Christians, and how is that set apart from all the other religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Islam, New Age, whatever? What's different about Christian prayer? And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Now, we'll start with verse 5, and we'll go through to verse 15. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. What's different? Let's switch your minds on as you're listening to these passages. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Okay, so we're used to this now, and it seems to us a very ordinary way to pray. But this set of teaching on prayer was absolutely revolutionary. Let's just start at the beginning here in verse 5. When you pray, don't pray as the hypocrites do. In other words, don't pray like the people who are just doing it for show down the front of the church, who pray on and on and on and try and impress everybody with their long prayers, and they pray a long time in public and a very little in private, because it's a show for them. It's a way of getting ahead. And back in those days, the Pharisees were very good at doing long prayers in public. And Jesus says, no, that's no good. God sees you in your inner man, in your inner room, in your inner place, and that's what he's concerned about. Prayer isn't something for the crowd. You're not there to impress God or to impress the crowd or to be cool or to pray in ways that get people saying yay, amen, and clapping along. No, you're there to talk to God. And you're there to talk to God about the things of your life, and that's to be done in private. So don't be like the people who are actors in prayer. In fact, if you look at the Bible, you'll find most of the prayers are under 1 minute in length. Even the Lord's Prayer, even John 17, the prayer, it's 1 or 2 minutes. You don't find any 20-minute prayers in the Bible. Prayers don't go on and on and on and on. Now, it's good to get together with friends and pray over the world. And in a few days' time, we will have a meeting here called the End Times Prayer Meeting, where we pray for all the things that are going on in China and the USA and Israel and Russia and, of course, in Africa. And we're very concerned about what's happening in Nigeria and all the other things that are happening around Africa and the coronavirus. And we pray for all the things around the world. But each prayer that we pray is only 1 or 2 minutes long. And we pray for lots and lots of different issues because there's a lot happening in the world. So you don't have to do a 30-minute prayer about someone's broken toenail. You just need to bring that broken toenail up to the Lord and pray about it. By all means, pray about everything, large and small. But don't pray theatrically. Don't pray to impress people. Instead, pray to impress the Lord. So in verse 6, it says, when you pray, go to your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. You see, God is hidden. God is a secret God. Much of what we know about heaven is secret. It's hidden. God knows the secret things, the hidden things, and the things revealed belong to us. So heaven is a realm that is beyond our understanding. And God, who is in secret, who is hidden in heaven, whose throne is there above all the heavens, hears us when we pray in secret in our inner room. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in my heart. He knows if we're kind and compassionate and generous. He knows the state of our being. And the state of who we are is very important when we pray. We're to be humble before the Lord. We're to fear the Lord and tremble before him. We're to use the scriptures when we pray. And God loves a generous, open, loving heart that cares about other people in the world. And when you have a loving heart and you truly pray out of love for people and love for God, then God's going to hear your prayer, because obviously that's what he wants. He wants love. He wants us to love people and care for people. So he wants your heart to be soft before him and to come before him without any thought of external reward. That's what it's talking about here. You're going before God. No one's knowing what you're praying. Your prayer life is private. Now, there is a place for public prayer. Pastors have to pray in public, and lots of other people have to pray in public. And it's okay to have a prayer meeting where you get together with a few friends and you pray aloud to one another. Now, let me stop at this point and say there is a rumor going around that if you pray aloud, the devil can hear your prayers and he can frustrate them. Well, the devil can read your mind. The devil can present temptations to you because he knows what's going on in your head anyway. There's no difference between saying it in your mind and saying it out loud, though God may at times hide your thoughts from the devil. You know, those crazy temptations that come into your head, they're injected there by the devil. So he knows about your brain. He knows about what you want. He knows the lusts and desires of your heart. So don't think for a moment that the devil can't understand your thoughts. Of course he can. So praying out loud is fine, and most prayer in the Bible was prayed out loud. Very few people prayed to themselves. So the scriptures were read out loud and the prayers were prayed out loud. And so a prayer was verbal and it was to God in heaven. And this idea that if you pray aloud, the devil stops your prayers has no scriptural basis whatsoever. There's no verse anywhere in the Bible that supports that. So feel that you can pray out loud and powerfully. We see Jesus praying out loud powerfully on the cross and many other places. People could hear his prayers, his cries and tears and lamentations out loud in the Garden of Gethsemane. So at all the vital points in Jesus' life and ministry, he's praying out loud and strongly. And do that in your private places before the Lord. You don't have to just think thoughts in your head to God. You can speak them out. Now, praying aloud has its benefits in that it stops us from wandering around in our head. When we're praying just in our own mind, it's easy to get distracted with thoughts of work or tasks or other things. When you pray out aloud to God, it keeps you on track. So you're just listening to your own voice as you pray to God, and it's a little bit more easy to stay on track and on target. So pray the scriptures, pray out loud, pray with volume and strength. And also, if you've got the gift of tongues, pray in tongues, but do so in secret so that other people aren't confused. A lot of Christians are thrown off when you pray in tongues, unless you know that the other people also pray in tongues. So pray in secret to your Father who is in heaven. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, like the Buddhists have prayer wheels that go over and over and over again. Repetition isn't going to get you through to God. God's listening anyway. He's looking at your heart. For they suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. That's not the case. The Bible prayers are concise and many words aren't going to impress God. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. See, God knows all the details of what I need in my ministry and my marriage and my life and socially. And he brings those needs to me. And so I can pray in generalities and God can fill in the details. He already knows the details. I don't need to tell him about the electric bill I need to pay or the support I need for the ministry. I don't need to go into all the details, though it can be helpful. So we find the Lord's Prayer, which follows in the next few verses, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that is extremely concise. It probably only takes about 30 seconds to say the Lord's Prayer, but it's incredibly powerful. You see, God is the God of the whole universe. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth and all things in them. He knows what the sparrows need. He knows what the dolphins need. He knows what the lions need when they are hungry. He supplies food for every living thing. He's compassionate to all that he has made. So if God knows what the dandelions need, that they need rain and soil, if God knows what the sparrows need, if he knows what the lilies of the field require, he knows what you require. He knows exactly your situation. He's listening in. He's tuned in to you. And he's waiting for you to pray, to ask, to seek, to knock, and all those kind of things. So be conscious that God is present with you when you pray and he knows your heart and he knows your needs and you can trust your Heavenly Father, which leads us to the start of the Lord's Prayer. Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The start of the prayer is Our Father who is in heaven. So God is our Heavenly Father. He's our Abba Father, and that's distinct from every other religion on the planet. The Muslims are terrified of that. They think that's shirk, that's blasphemy to call God your Father. Even the Pharisees thought it was blasphemy to call God our Father. But God is the Father of spirits. He's the Father of our souls. He's the Father of all creation. He is the Creator of all things. And we address him as Heavenly Father because he is there in heaven, our Father who is in heaven. He wants his will done here on earth. So he is our spiritual father. He's the father of our spirit, the deepest parts of our soul. And he gives to us eternal life and we become sons and daughters of the living God. So you're praying to a heavenly father who loves you and has an eternal plan for your life. So you've got to realize that he's your heavenly father. He's in heaven. He hasn't abandoned you and run off to heaven, but that's where his throne is. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. And we pray to that God that is in heaven in the spiritual realms and seeing all things, knowing all things and creating all things. We don't pray as a frightened servant. We don't pray as the subject of a great king who was terrified, though God is a great king. We come to him as junior princes. We come to him as members of the royal family, assured of his love because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us and makes us fit to stand before our Heavenly Father. So he's telling the disciples and he's telling the people listening to him to rely on the fact that God is their Heavenly Father. He says, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We take God's name seriously. We take our family honor seriously. And our family honor is the honor of Jesus, the honor of our Father in heaven. And we say, "Hallowed be thy name." That he's to be held holy, he is to be held sacred. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, one of the things that runs through the Bible is the reconnection of earth and heaven. When we fell away from the spiritual powers that were in the Garden of Eden. Heaven and earth were disconnected at that point, and earth, all things on earth were disconnected from God and were only reconnected through the cross. So God's will, his heavenly will, his pure will, wants to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will in heaven is pure, holy, loving, kind, and compassionate. So we know that from the Bible. And so we want God's pure, holy, kind, compassionate, good, and loving will done here on earth. In heaven, no one is sick. So it's God's will to make sure that no one is sick here on earth. In heaven, no one is demon-possessed, so it's God's will to make sure that every demon is cast out here on earth. In heaven, there is no injustice and cruelty, and so it's God's will that there be no injustice and cruelty here on earth. In heaven, there is no poverty, so it is God's will that poverty be eliminated here on earth, though the poor will always be with us because of the fall and also to test our generosity. So it's God's will that all these things, evils in the world, be eliminated and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God doesn't want us rebelling against him. He wants his will done on earth, not in a strict and terrible way, but for our blessing, for our shalom, for good things to happen to us. And so we're to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that God's will be done in our political structures, educational structures, business structures. God doesn't want businesses cheating you or taking your money and not giving you goods and services. So why don't you pray that you have honest businesses and honest businessmen? Because that's God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray against corruption. Corruption is not God's will. Pray that God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven and that corruption leaves your country, corruption leaves your government and the business sector and the import-export sector and everything else. So pray that God's will be done here on earth, that heaven will be reconnected to earth. Now in heaven, of course, everyone's saved. So one of the primary things that we have to pray for is the salvation of our friends and family. Because if God's will is to be done, God's will is that everyone have eternal life, and that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So we want everyone to be saved. We want everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. We want everyone to love God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, and everyone to love their neighbor as themselves. And when we all love God and we all love our neighbor, then we will have a glorious time here on earth. And so you want to pray for revival. You want to pray for a change in the world. And that leads us to our next little point, thy kingdom come. We want God's kingdom to come here on earth. We want God to rule. We want God to take over this world and we want God's kingdom to be manifest, not the kingdoms of dictators or the kingdoms of people with big money or the kingdoms of people that trample on us and put us down. We want God's kingdom to come. We want true justice, true love and true holiness, and we're to pray for God's kingdom to take up residence here on earth and for God's power to be manifest. Now, we know that God's kingdom is going to come in its fullness when Christ returns, but we want people to be saved. We want people to be in church. We want the kingdom of God to grow, and we want the kingdom to come as much as it can come before Jesus returns. So you need to pray that the kingdom of God will be manifest in your church, in your village, in your city, in your town, in your nation, and across the whole world. And while you're at it, pray for America, because it's a big mess over here. And you need to pray that God's will be done and God's kingdom will happen here in the United States. And there are many crises around the world at the moment. And we'll pray for you there in Africa that you will be blessed by the Lord God and God's kingdom will come there as well. And there will be joy and peace in believing. So, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And as a missionary, I've known times of ups and downs financially. And the Lord supplies our daily bread. I remember when I was a fairly young missionary standing in a marketplace in Papua New Guinea, wondering if I could buy some green vegetables to have with my rice, 30 cents worth of green vegetables. And at the same time, I read in the newspaper about this billionaire that just made $3.7 billion. And I'm worrying about 30 cents worth of green vegetables, whether I can afford them. So we have to pray, give us this day our daily bread, because the devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy, and your income is not automatic. There are demons that want to starve you. There are demons that want to ruin your crops. There are demons that want to kick you out of your job. There are demons that want to make Christians poor and enslaved. There are demons that are set against the prosperity of Christianity, and you need to pray for your daily bread. It's not automatic. It's not just a matter of working hard. It's a matter of a spiritual battle for your daily bread. You're in a spiritual battle just to exist. And some people are rich and wealthy. That's great if you are. But a lot of people aren't. For a lot of people, it's really uncertain. They're doing well one year and terribly the next. And their family is hit by disease and famine and disaster, because Satan has come to steal and to kill and destroy and smash our dreams into the dust. And so you have to pray with your whole strength. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not something that's automatic. And Jesus tells us this is a spiritual warfare prayer, the Lord's Prayer. You've got to get in there and you've got to pray like it matters. And don't let people tell you it's unspiritual to pray for your own needs. It's not unspiritual. It's right there in the Lord's Prayer that you're to pray for your daily needs, because it's a big battle. It's a big battle for a lot of people around the world. So I want you to rise up and pray for your family and for your nation that poverty is defeated and that you can rise up and do the things that God's called you to do. You can't do much for the Lord if you're starving, so pray for your daily bread. Okay. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. We've got a lot of debts in heaven. We've not obeyed this commandment. We've done this wrong. We have a lot of negative stuff that we've piled up. Fortunately, the cross of Jesus Christ forgives us of all our sins. But we need to ask God, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us for all the mistakes and weaknesses that we have. We need to forgive others. We need to be generous of heart and mind. We've messed up against God and people have messed up against us, and we need to give them a break. And so we need to come before God in prayer and say, Lord, I forgive this person, I forgive that, I forgive my wife, my husband, my kids, my relatives, my tribe, my people that I'm with, the people at work, the people around me. Just keep forgiving. And as you have a soft and forgiving heart, then God's going to answer your prayers. We'll jump down here to verses 14 and 15. For you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions, which means your prayers won't be answered. So if you want your prayers to be answered, then you've got to have a forgiving heart and a good heart and cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ and let the softness of God flow through you. Forgive the unforgivable. Excuse the inexcusable. Let your heart be softened up and don't be disappointed and don't be discouraged. Don't let the stuff get to you. Just let it flow past you. Make your refuge the Heavenly Father that loves you and wants His kingdom to come in your life. Okay, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This world is quite evil. It's aiming to destroy you, to destroy your heart, your mind, your spirituality, and keep you from being born again, keep you from knowing the powers of heaven, keep you from being filled with the Spirit. It tries to distract you, tempt you. It comes against you with persecution and every other known thing. And so you need to pray that God will deliver you out of the evil day, the things that come on this earth, deliver us from plagues, deliver us from revolutions, deliver us from violence and crime, deliver us from unjust people and con artists and the people that prey on us. There's a lot of evil out there that wants to consume us. There are con artists that want to take our money. There are unjust judges that want to send us to jail. There are people who are violent and cruel who want to dominate us, beat us, rape us, and even kill us. And God can deliver you from the hands of the wicked. And a lot of the Psalms are about that. So pray that God will deliver you from evil and from injustice and from the forces of corruption that prey upon you and prey upon your family, and also to deliver you from disease and all kinds of evil that will come against you in life that God doesn't want to come against you. So make it an offer, a matter of prayer. And do not lead us into temptation. God doesn't want you to be tempted, but this is both temptation, as in sexual temptation, and also hard testing. Ask that you'll be delivered from the hard testings and trials of life. There are often choices we can make, and one will be good, and others will lead us into a hard place, a job that is bad for us, or a university course that we're going to fail, or something that's just evil and terrible. In other words, we need to pray that God will guide us so we don't end up in those messy places where we're tested and we marry the wrong person or we end up in a great big mess that just shreds us on the inside and on the outside. So pray that God will give you the wisdom to avoid trouble and to avoid hard and difficult situations that are going to place you under a lot of affliction and pressure. And this isn't just praying for an easy life. It's praying for a life that isn't full of traps and snares, because a lot of people stumble from one trap and one snare into the next one. They go from bad relationship to bad relationship, or they go from bad job to bad job. So pray that the Lord will deliver you out of all these circumstances and hard testings and trials and things that are unreliable. Pray that the Lord will lift you up and put you in a wide open place, a good place, a place of peace and prosperity, and that God will make your life truly blessed. So have a kind heart, have a good heart. Remember to pray in a Christian way, not a pagan way. Don't be a hypocrite praying for others to see. Let the Holy Ghost guide your prayers, and go and take that Lord's Prayer and pray it over a few times. Pray it over and over again till it clicks with you. It's a great prayer. Sometimes as Christians, we get so used to it, we forget to pray it. So let's end up this little broadcast by praying the Lord's Prayer. Pray in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. The Lord bless you all. Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.